Welcome to the Investment Answers Podcast. I'm Travis Turlaw.
And I'm Kelly Turlaw, and we're glad you're here.
We're a real couple that owns an actual financial planning firm.
Travis is a certified financial planner, an independent investment advisor representative, and the company's founder and CEO.
And Kelly is the chief operations officer, not only at Investment Answers, but also for our family.
A couple that works together stays together. Well, that might not always be true, but it works for us.
But that's why we make such a good team. I have the language and know-how to navigate this industry, and you're the total paranoid cynic.
All right, there's a lot going on there. Enough about us. What are we talking about this week?
Imagine this. You've hit middle age. You're making good money, even putting some away for your future. Life isn't perfect, but it's not too bad either. Then, out of nowhere, Mom has a stroke, and now she's living in your basement. Somebody's got to keep an eye on her and get her to all those doctors. Suddenly, Junior moves back home. You blinked, and now you have three generations living under one roof. Their bills are becoming your bills, and they all seem to be going up. The pressure is building. You just found yourself in the sandwich zone.
Wow, you really went for it there, didn't you?
Well, it's a scary situation for a lot of people. In fact, more and more people are experiencing this phenomenon being sandwiched, but it's a term many have never heard of.
Well, it's so scary because of how pervasive it is. It's crazy because everyone knows of the baby boomer generation and even the greatest generation, but nobody seems to be familiar with the sandwich generation.
Well, we certainly have had some personal experience with this one, haven't we?
Yeah, and it's an unfortunate place to be for sure. So to break it down for all of you, the sandwich generation is a term that is used to describe when someone is basically sandwiched between caring for someone who is older.
Maybe a grandparent or a parent, an aunt or an uncle, an older spouse, or even a friend or a neighbor.
Right, but they're caring for that older adult at the same time that they're providing care for an older child and even potentially a grandchild. Mm-hmm. So the sandwich generation is really defined by the circumstance of financially and physically providing care for someone older than them, while at the same time providing financial, physical, or emotional care for someone that's younger than them.
So this can look very different for each individual
family. Absolutely.
Here's what my family went through. In fact, we actually had four generations living under one roof at one time. So 6 or 7 years ago, my grandmother was experiencing a decline in her health and had to move out of her Georgia home and in with my parents.
Well, she actually left Georgia and moved to a completely new state so that your parents could provide care for her, right?
Exactly. And she was in her early 80s and a widow for several years. And her other children weren't able at the time to care for her, and so that responsibility fell onto my mom and dad.
And no one really knew how long she would stay with them because you have longevity in your family. So even though her health was declining, we all knew it was likely that she'd be living with your parents for an extended period of time and that she would probably pass away while she was in their care.
Exactly. So my dad remodeled the basement into an apartment and she lived with my parents for about 5 years. She had to have significant amount of care where she needed to be lifted out of chairs, helped into cars, and eventually she lost her ability to drive.
Well, her health really varied. Sometimes it was better than other times, but there were times when she was hospitalized. She underwent some pretty serious surgeries to help not only with the quality of life, but then also some life-threatening situations as well. So lots of scary times in there.
Right. And obviously, this was a very difficult time for my parents, and actually becoming full-time caregivers really caused their health to decline as well.
Well, ask any full-time caregiver. It is really hard on your body, especially on the back and the shoulder. Those are the two most common injuries from having to lift and turn a patient.
Right. So both my mother and my father needed to have back surgery because of the type of physical strain that they endured helping my grandmother. And Mom also had to have wrist surgery. So a lot of physical challenges, but there was an emotional strain there as well.
Well, even from a space in the home standpoint, because Grandma really wouldn't get rid of any of her furniture.
So
she moved most of that into the house, which really made their home cramped and difficult to get around in, which made me concerned because falls are usually what triggers those hospitalizations in older adults. You get broken bones, head injuries. you know, instability increases as you age and overall weakness, but all of that can lead to bed sores, immobility. Right. It really adds up the trauma from those falls.
Well, in addition to that, around the same time, my sister and brother-in-law decided they were going to sell all their belongings and move to Egypt to be missionaries for 3 years. And during their transition, while raising money, they sold their house and moved in with my parents. Now, they also had two teenagers, my nephew, who was 15 at the time, and my niece, who was 13. So when it was all said and done, there were a total of four generations living under one roof.
But thank God they were there, because the original caregivers, your parents,
right, true,
they actually ended up needing care when mm-hmm. they went down with their backs from caring for grandma.
Yeah.
So needless to say, it was just a tight fit.
Yeah. My sister, brother-in-law, niece, and nephew slept in the bedrooms upstairs. My parents lived on the main floor, and my grandmother lived in the basement. With so many people living in the same house, things got really stressful at times. And there was very little privacy, and the quiet years that my parents were counting on in their own retirement was replaced with a lot of chaos.
Well, it can be really hard on a family, the lack of space and of privacy. Mm-hmm. Even some of the things that are necessary when a family member is weak and mm-hmm. unable to care for themselves mm-hmm. can be so hard on your ego, not only for the caregiver, but also on the person who has to be cared for. There were some blessings in there with them all being together, for sure, but it's just not an ideal situation.
Well, fast forward to today, my grandmother has moved out of my parents' house and is living full-time in a nursing home, and the kids are away at college, and my sister and her husband now have a home of their own.
So it wasn't a forever situation.
Right.
It came to an end, but that brings up entirely different conversations on how to pay for that nursing mm-hmm. home and how to pay for those college educations. So if it's not one thing, it's always something else.
It really is. And there are some important issues we want to put out there for those of you in this situation where you find yourself caring for the generation before you and the one after you.
Right. So basically, if you're in the situation where your parents plan for their long-term care, their plan is you, mm-hmm. then there are a few things that you really need to address before it's too late. So ideally, you want to have this discussion of what your parents' long-term care plan is before there's an actual emergency, or whomever the older adult is
right.
that you could potentially be caring for.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot more challenging to pull together your parents' life documents and financial statements if you don't know where they are or what they are, for that matter.
Well, we have a peace of mind checklist on our website, investmentanswers.net, that can help you organize important life documents and write down their location. We also have an infographic called The 30 Documents You Need Before You Die, which is a great place to start. It can help you get a basic idea of what you're looking for, but you're going to need to organize not only your own financial records and life documents, but if you're going to be a primary caregiver to your parents, you're going to need to be able to access their records as well.
Yeah.
And you won't necessarily need everything listed on the Peace of Mind checklist or the 30 docs. But everything on there is very important. So if you do have those, you need to know where they are.
Well, like burial information, you should know if your parents or loved one has a prepaid burial arrangement, or if that's an upcoming expense that you will need to pay for, or are they going to cover it? You know, it's a total waste of money if they pass away and you end up paying several thousands of dollars for a funeral only later to find out that they had already pre-purchased a burial plot.
I've seen it before.
Yeah, I know. And so knowing where those important life documents are and then being able to access them in case of a tragedy is really important.
And knowing ahead of time what their plan is, or if there is no plan in place, helps you, the person who is likely to be responsible for paying those expenses, if they can't.
Well, we have a friend who's our age in his early 40s whose dad passed away this week.
Mm-hmm.
And he just found out that he's going to have to sell his car so that he can pay those burial expenses. And it's really traumatic for him. His sister passed away tragically in college. So he's it. He's the only person left to pay
right.
those costs.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be in that situation if you can have these important discussions ahead of time and make a plan together.
Well, each adult accumulates both assets and liabilities over their lifetime. So knowing what those are and having them organized and accessible is one of the kindest things that you can do for your surviving family members. You may not need to access those documents while your parents are still alive, but it is important to know where they are.
So you bring up a good point. What are some of the documents that you definitely need to know if your parents have, and to make sure that they're up to date and accurate according to your parents' wishes?
Sure. So there are four basic estate planning legal documents that you need to be aware of, and that's the will, the last will and testament, the power of attorney for health care, the durable power of attorney for assets, and a living will. Now, obviously, having access to the deed to the property is important to be able to locate the car title, the social security card. So if someone needs to reference or make sure that they are who they say they are, you've got that social security card. And a list of names and contact information for their professional network, like their insurance agent or their attorney or their CPA or something like that. And also, if they have prepaid funeral expenses, know where they are and know how to access that information.
You know, a new thing that families really need to consider now is the online life of their loved ones. Right. If they have online accounts, being able to access those databases with usernames and passwords can be so unbelievably important.
Exactly.
After all, more and more is being kept online nowadays. We'll do a specific podcast just on that topic. Really, there's just so much information there that you can talk about it a little bit here, but it's really something we need to devote time to specifically. But most important, if your parents do have online accounts and or cloud storage, being able to locate their usernames and passwords can be very helpful.
You know, it's really interesting and a good point that you bring up, because people don't realize that they have a physical life and then they have an online life.
A digital
life. And their digital life will be there once they've passed. And their beneficiaries, their successors, need to know how to access that information.
Or if they can access
it. So most people don't realize that there's actually another life that they have, and that's all online. So it's really interesting. And we'll talk about that in more detail later.
Yep.
But speaking of talk with your parents getting older, you really need to encourage them to put essential payments on auto schedules.
That's so important.
So, for instance, payments for their utilities, their mortgage, their prescription renewals, their insurance premiums, they all should be automated.
Yes.
If their power gets turned off and they're incapacitated and you're not listed as their power of attorney, it can't be turned back on. That's going to cause some problems for them and for you. And another important thing is to look at their required minimum distributions, because likely they're over age 70 and a half, and they have to take monies out of their IRAs, their 401ks, and other deferred compensation or retirement accounts.
Every year.
Every year. And automating those will help ensure that they don't have that that late withdrawal IRS penalty of 50% of that distribution because they didn't make it 1 year.
Well, you mentioned about needing to be the power of attorney for things like paying or managing utility bills, but it's more than just that. If they need to make a mortgage payment, and you cannot make that for them with their account unless you have power of attorney, right?
That's right. And any bank, whether it be for their mortgage or any other financial institution, account or asset, even going to the DMV to get their tags for their car renewed. You can't do that for them on their behalf unless you have a power of attorney. So it just allows you to utilize their accounts on their behalf and make it easier. Otherwise, those expenses will need to be paid by someone. And if you can't tap into their accounts, it's going to come out of yours.
That's right. Well, to go further, a really important discussion to have is mom and dad, what's your long-term care plan? You really need to find out if their plan is you. And if so, you're going to have to discuss some of those logistics. I mean, it's more than needing to have a first floor bedroom so they can stay in it.
Right.
It's really a question of how are their medical bills going to get paid as they age?
Well, people always think of long-term care insurance as nursing home coverage. When I talk to people about, do you have long-term care insurance? They kind of look at me sometimes like I have two heads. And then I mention, do you have nursing home coverage? And they say, oh, yes or no. And really, long-term care insurance They cover a lot more than that. In fact, the majority of the long-term care policies nowadays cover the four basic types of care. You've got your adult day care, your assisted living care, your home health care, and your nursing home care. And one thing that I want to stress is Medicaid and Medicaid planning, or having someone utilize Medicaid for their long-term care expenses. Medicaid only covers nursing homes. The other three possibilities are all private pay. So if you're going to get into a facility that is not just a nursing home, it's going to come out of your pocket, or you have to utilize some long-term care insurance. And it's really evolved over the last 15 years because some people don't want to have to pay into perpetuity. You can pay for a finite period of time because that evolution is really meeting the needs now of the aging adult. And to be honest, if mom and dad say they can't afford insurance on them both, statistically, because the ladies are living longer, I'm going to suggest that they get coverage on the ladies, because generally speaking, they're better caregivers than we are, and they provide the majority of the care for their spouse, often at great personal detriment. Somebody has to be there to care for them as well when their time of need comes.
I think it's really important to talk about how likely this scenario is. Annually, over 43 million adults in the U.S. have provided unpaid care to another person in the last year, and 80% of those cared for an adult over the age of 50.
And with the average cost of nursing home care being $84,000 a year without long-term care insurance, less than one out of five elderly have personal resources to be able to afford more than 3 years of nursing home care. And we've all heard of the devastating effects of illness like Alzheimer's and dementia, where the person may live for quite some time while in serious decline in their ability to remain independent.
Yeah, and according to AARP's Valuing the Invaluable study, 73% of adults that are 40 to 65 years old expect their families to provide their long-term care when it's needed.
That's crazy. That's seven times more than those that expect to use home health agency, nursing home, or assisted living facility.
But sometimes it's unavoidable. They have to go into 24-hour care like your grandma, and somebody has to pay for that.
Well, AARP found that 68% of caregivers had to use their own money to help provide for care for a relative. And in doing so, they had to put their other financial goals on hold, like their own retirement or saving for their child's college.
Look at that. The college tuition discussion pops up again.
All the time.
It seems like when you're discussing how to pay for your parents' long-term care, it's also the same time that you're having to discuss how to fund your child's college education.
Right. Well, nearly half of adults in their 40s and 50s are raising a young child or financially supporting a grown child who also have parents over the age of 65. So this is the time that is really relevant. And speaking of age 65, if you reach age 65, then as a male, your life expectancy is just over 84 years old. And as a woman, age 65, your life expectancy is almost 87 years old. And like you'd mentioned before with Alzheimer's and dementia, just because you're living longer due to medical advances, that doesn't mean that the quality of your life is there.
Or your ability to live independently. In so many cases, an aging parent will need to rely on their children and or their grandchildren, and that can really make an impact.
Right.
One in five middle-aged adults have to provide financial support to a parent that's over age 65. And here's what's really scary. One in seven people have to provide financial support both to an aging parent and to an adult child. Those expenses really add up quickly, and gender is not in play here. Men and women are equally likely to be sandwiched by their family. It's just the women are more likely to be the caregivers.
And most people say that they have a responsibility to an elderly parent in need. Only about a quarter said that it wasn't their responsibility. So the vast majority of the people agree that this is something they're willing to take on. However, many don't go the next step and plan for the consequences of taking on that responsibility, which impacts them financially in a significant way.
Well, think about your career. When we're growing up, everyone was basically pressured into going into college when we were. That was the big thing. Well, same, the college education discussion.
Yeah, there it is again.
But seriously, people were pressured into college and they were basically discouraged from trades, right? So you've accumulated all of this college debt. So you finally get a good job and you start a family. Then you get a home for your family. Now you've got some debt, some pretty serious debt, college debt plus your home. And now you have to take care of mom and dad too. So then you have to leave work and make less money. And then that's when the debt really starts to compound. What good does it do, you know, for you to have a college education to get a good job if you have to leave the workforce to be a primary caregiver at the prime of your career?
That's very counterproductive right there. And you really bring up a good point. And I know it's one that you're very passionate about. So listen, over 60% of caregivers are employed either part-time or full-time. And of that, 80% of caregivers providing for an older adult, 71% of them are age 40 to 59.
Yeah, that's that prime middle age.
And almost 75% of those caregivers are female. So you've taken some time off potentially to have a family, and now you're taking time off to care for your parents?
And the time it takes to be a caregiver is significant.
Right.
You're looking at an average of 25 to 35 hours per week, and that's like a full-time job.
That's a full-time job, yeah. Which, obviously, that can negatively impact your job performance as well. So remember that AARP report, it said that those who leave the workforce after age 50 to care for a parent can incur significant income-related losses, averaging over $300,000 in loss of income and benefits over their lifetime.
Oh, that breaks my heart, because they've also mentioned that 49% of the caregivers have to make work adjustments, like taking a leave of absence, turning down promotions, even receiving warnings about their attendance. Mm-hmm. They said 22% of retirees had left the workforce earlier than expected to care for an ill family member.
And the types of care that you're looking for are essential things, like taking them to the doctor's appointments and errands and home repairs and personal care, providing financial and emotional care, things like that.
So we've talked about a lot here in a relatively short period of time. The most important thing I think I want to impress upon people is two things. Have these very important conversations with your loved ones before there is an emergency or before it's too late. And secondly, the kindest thing you can do for your loved ones is to have your own paperwork and your own life documents in order.
Right. And look, because this is such a huge topic, we're going to split this up. So the next two podcasts we're going to release are about, the next one is the one sandwich you don't want to eat. And that's about having to provide financial assistance for your grown child. And the next one, which is the most important podcast in the series, the one sandwich you need to eat, which is about taking care of yourself while you're a caregiver.
And if you can break the cycle of this generational curse, you can really impact the future for your children and your grandchildren. Mm-hmm. What they see is what they'll do. And if they see your parents passing along their unresolved debts and those unrelenting stressors onto you, that has a lifelong impact.
It really does.
It becomes a generational curse because you'll do the same to them, and then they'll do the same to their kids. Mm-hmm. Someone has to break the cycle and learn to live within their means so that they can properly prepare for this oncoming role of being a primary caregiver to their loved ones as they age.
Look, the one thing I always hear 100% of the time from my clients who've had to go through this with their parents, the one thing they always say is, I don't want my children and my grandchildren to go through what I'm going through.
So, Travis, what if people want to learn more?
Well, Kelly, I'm glad you asked. For more information on this or any other topics we've discussed, or to check out our disclaimer, go to www.investmentanswers.net or email us directly at info@investmentanswers.net. Investment Answers. Leave uncertainty behind. Until next time, I'm Travis Turlaw.
And I'm Kelly Turlaw.
And thanks for listening.